As we take a look at that image that I put up on the screen, it may seem like we feel this way a lot of the time. You know, I'm a little bit puzzled by this. I'm a little unsure, a little confused. You know, it doesn't make much sense to me. Sometimes in life, there are things that we certainly don't understand and that we don't quite grasp the meaning of. But there is something that we can always rest assured that has been given to us with the intention of understanding. I want to think just a moment about something that Peter wrote in 2 Peter chapter 3. We've made note of some things in the past that he has written here, but I want us to take a specific look at something he says beginning in verse 13, but especially focusing on verse 16. He says, "But according to his promise, we are looking for new heavens and a new earth in which righteousness dwells. Therefore, beloved, since you look for these things, be diligent to be found by him in peace, spotless and blameless, and regard the patience of our Lord as salvation, just as also our beloved brother Paul, according to the wisdom given him, wrote to you, as also in all his letters, speaking in them of these things, and which are some things hard to understand, which the untaught and unstable distort, as they do also the rest of the scriptures to their own destruction." See, there are a lot of people, when they look at the Word of God, that don't understand. Peter makes a remark of that. He says, you know, God has told us what we need to know. And he's just told us, Peter has, about things that are regarding the end of the physical realm. And he's also, in his letters, told us things that relate to salvation, the redemption that we have, the life that we would have with God in Christ. But he says, there are some things that the untaught and the unstable distort. There are some things that people never grasp an understanding of. We see a situation where there was a man who did not understand everything he was reading in Acts chapter 8. You guys know this story. It's about how the Spirit directed Philip to go speak to a man from Ethiopia who was in a chariot riding on his way back to Ethiopia from Jerusalem. He was a religious man, and he had gone there to worship, and he was well enough off to have his own copy of the scroll of Isaiah. And as he's traveling back, he is reading from Isaiah. And there in Acts chapter 8, beginning in verse 30, it says that Philip ran up and heard him reading Isaiah the prophet and said, "Do you understand what you're reading?" And he said, "Well, how could I unless someone guides me?" And he invited Philip to come up and sit down with him. Of course, that was exactly what God had sent Philip there to do. And so we understand that that man from Ethiopia, he didn't quite grasp. He knew that what he was reading was important, but he didn't quite grasp what he needed to know. He didn't understand about how it had come to pass in recent days. Paul, that Peter has mentioned in the text that we just read, he said that he wrote so it could be understood. He wrote that what was given to him was given by God so that men could understand. Ephesians chapter 3, verses 3 and 4, that's precisely what he said. He said, "I've been given this revelation so that when I write it, you can understand, you know, what God has given me regarding this mystery." The point we're making here is that God wants us to understand, and we need to then grasp that concept that God wants us to understand. But now, it's like Peter said, sometimes understanding the scriptures isn't necessarily the easiest thing. He says that some of the things that Paul wrote, you know, they're hard to understand. You know, we've looked at that eunuch from Ethiopia. He did not exactly understand what he was reading. You start to talk to people in the world around you, And it becomes apparent that there are a lot of people that don't understand what they read in Scripture or what they have heard from Scripture. So what I want to deal with this morning for just a little bit is understanding the question, why do so many not understand? If Peter says, Paul has written some things that are difficult, if the Ethiopian eunuch says, well, how can I understand? Why is it that so many people don't understand? Well, I want to suggest to you that there are quite a number of reasons why we should strive to understand. Peter's already addressed that back in his first letter, 1 Peter chapter 1, since you have in obedience to the truth. In other words, you've heard the truth and you understood what you needed to do to the point that you obeyed it. But how could you ever obey the things that you didn't understand? You wouldn't. Paul lets us know that through Scriptures we can understand the hope of his calling. That's the way he phrases it in Ephesians chapter 1. He says, so you can know the hope of his calling, but how can we know until we understand what that hope's about? And where are we going to find that? We're going to find it in God's Word. We're going to find it in his Scriptures. What happens if you don't understand? Well, Paul addresses that too in Ephesians chapter 4. He says, if you don't understand, if your understanding is darkened, he says, you're excluded from the life of God. You're alienated from God if you choose not to understand what he's written and what he's given us. A failure to understand what God has given us actually shows us to be quite foolish. That's the story that Jesus himself told. He said, if you hear these words of mine, you know what I'm talking about, you understand it, and you don't act on it, he says, you're like the foolish man who built his house on the sand. If you know what I said, and you understand what I said, but you don't do anything about it, you're foolish. The rain fell, the floods came, the winds blew and slammed against that house, and it fell, and great was its fall. So if it's that vitally important to understand, why is it that people don't understand? I've made a list that I want us to think about this morning, and it's not, I'm sure, exhaustive. Some of you can probably add more things to the list, but at least I think this will be a list that will help us to understand why we need to understand and what might keep us or our friends or neighbors from understanding. One of the very reasons that we've already kind of touched on a little bit is that there are some passages that are difficult. Just because God says understand it doesn't mean that some things aren't more plain than others. Some things are more difficult. Peter acknowledged that, didn't he? Some of the things Peter said that our brother Paul writes are hard to understand, but notice, what did Peter not say? Peter never said there are some things that Paul has written that cannot be understood. He didn't say they can't be understood. He said they're hard to understand. What that tells me is that I can't just scan loosely the Scriptures and understand what I need to understand. I can't just pick up a Bible and just kind of casually read through and just scan across the top, so to speak, and expect to understand what I need to understand. I also understand that if I put forth some effort into really looking at the Scripture, that there is a lot of understanding that God provides for me. Over in 2 Timothy chapter 3, 2 Timothy chapter 3, he tells us, as he's talking to Timothy, I think he's also talking to us. He says, you, however, continue in the things that you learned and become convinced of, knowing from whom you have learned them, and that from childhood you have known the sacred writings which are able to give you the wisdom that leads to salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is inspired by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be adequate and equipped for every good work. What's Paul telling Timothy? What's he telling us? If we look at the Scriptures, if we put forth the effort to look to see what the Scripture, even ones that seem to be difficult to us, if we spend the time looking at them, what does Paul say it leads to? Well, Timothy had grown up knowing what we refer to as the Old Testament, the law, the writings, and the prophets. And he said, from a childhood you've known that, these sacred writings, and what are they able to do? Give you the wisdom that leads to salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. And then he goes on and again explains everything that God has given us. All Scripture is given us by God. All of it's inspired by God. And what if we put forth the effort to even deal with difficult passages, what do we find? That it's profitable for teaching. It's profitable for reproof. It's profitable for correction. It's good for training in what's the right way in righteousness. And it will give us everything we need. If we're just scanning across the top of the text in a light and casual way, should we expect to be equipped for every good work? I don't think so. But that's the reason that a lot of the people never come to an understanding, is they don't put forth the effort. Especially when they come to something that they might not have noticed before or that seems difficult to them, they just kind of push it aside, don't put forth the effort to really read and study and look and see what God has to say. Very much related to that is the idea that they don't want to understand. Peter has addressed that too, hasn't he? And just earlier in this very same chapter, he talks about the mockers who have failed to take notice of what God has said. They chose not to look at what God had to say. They chose not to look at what God had done. So some people don't understand because they just don't want to. They just don't want to look to see what God said. Some people, as we noted, just don't want to look at the hard stuff. Some people don't want to look at it at all. They don't want to see what God has done or what God has said. And that's a sad thing, because if you're not willing to look at what God says, if you're not willing to look at who God is and what God has done and what He's told you, then you have no hope, because there's no other source of any hope for you at all if you choose not to understand. Some people then, on the other hand, say, oh, well, I'm willing to look at it. I'm willing to look at what He's got to say. But again, it's very much tied to these first two. They don't meditate on Scripture. In other words, they're saying, well, I don't want to just push it aside, and I do want to understand what He has to say, but then they don't meditate on what God has to say. Over in the first Psalm, that's the way the book of Psalms begins. The first Psalm that is compiled through inspiration, I believe, into this book, this collection, this five-book collection we have of Psalms that we call the Book of Psalms, starts out with the very thing. Blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, nor stand in the path of sinners, nor sit in the seat of scoffers, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. And he goes on to talk about how profitable that is to meditate on what God has to say. Unfortunately, it seems that a lot of people, maybe even we could say most people, maybe even people who are Christians, fall into this category of, I'm not really going to meditate on the Scripture. I'll read it. I'll listen to maybe what the Bible class teacher or the preacher might have to say, but I'm not going to spend my time meditating on Scripture. I'm not going to give my due diligence. Again, think what Paul said to Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15. Be diligent to present yourself approved to God. Put forth the effort. And too many people aren't willing to meditate on scriptures day and night. I'll give him 30 minutes on Sunday morning for Bible class, and I'll give him 30 minutes on Sunday morning while the preacher talks, and I might even give him 30 minutes on Sunday night, and maybe 30 minutes or 40 minutes on Wednesday night when they talk about it. But don't expect me to meditate on his word day and night. If that's the attitude we have, we're not ever going to come to the understanding that we need. But then sadly, there's another reason a lot of people don't understand. It's because what they've done is they've put their confidence more in men than they have God. What I mean by that is there'll be people they have confidence in. Maybe it's even a family member, maybe a mother or a father. And they will have so much confidence in them. Maybe some other man that they just, boy, he really looks good, or boy, he really knows how to use words, right? And they'll place their confidence in men and not in what the Scripture says. And so they'll end up being taught things that don't agree with Scripture. They'll be taught things and they'll begin to listen to things and to follow things that are in contradiction to what God has said. Jesus deals with that attitude in Luke chapter 6, verse 39. It says, and he also spoke a parable to them. A blind man cannot guide a blind man, can he? Will they not both fall into a pit? In other words, Jesus is saying, don't put your confidence in somebody that's teaching you something that's not what God has been saying. If you let somebody that's not teaching God's word teach you, if you put your confidence in him, then you're both going to end up falling in the hole. Don't do that. But yet some people choose to listen to the traditions of men rather than the word of God, because they have placed their confidence in some man. And so they'll never come to an understanding of the Scripture, because they'll listen to what their parents say or what that religious man might say. Another thing that creates a lack of understanding is what we find in that a lot of people will read in unfamiliar language. Perhaps one of the reasons the eunuch, we don't know why he was having difficulty understanding. It may just be that he had not been exposed to the more recent events in Jerusalem. But it could be he was from Ethiopia. And maybe he was struggling through a scroll written in Hebrew. A lot of times we find that people get in a struggle with understanding. I remember when I preached in a Mexican colony down in the Rio Grande Valley, that I was warned by one of the members there. Now, there's more than one Spanish version. Make sure that if you quote something, that you're quoting from the Spanish version that they understand, not from the one they don't. Even though they all speak Spanish, some of the language in this translation is not going to be familiar to these people. So some people have difficulty, and maybe it's a language, maybe it's their native tongue, but the language is not from their particular generation, or generation is not even a good word, maybe not dialect either. Maybe it's just that the language is a language that's not used now. Like, just to give you an example, how many of us use phrases like, we do you to wit. If I were to start speaking that way to you, we do you to wit. What have I just said? I'm speaking English, but what did I just say? What I've just said is, I want you to understand. But we don't say it, I wish you to, we do you to wit. We don't say it that way anymore. So my point is, make sure you're reading something you know what the language is, right? But now that being said, make sure you're also not getting something that people have just called a translation that's not really a translation at all, just because the words look easy. In other words, don't get something like in generations past, it would have been something like the Living Bible or in more current generations, it would be something like The Message, because those aren't translations at all, right? So don't fall into that trap either. But just understand that you need to be reading something that you know what the words mean. You know what the phrases are. You understand the grammar. But then the worst problem comes in when you don't pay any attention to the context. See, now we're getting into more practical stuff, right? Yes, I have confidence in God and I want to read His Word. Well, make sure you're using words that you know what the words mean. If you don't know them, look them up, right? Make sure that you're paying attention to what the context is. Some people don't consider context at all when they read. For instance, if I were just to pluck Galatians chapter 3, verse 26, just out of the blue, and read it, "For you're all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus." Well, what if I gave that no context? What if I didn't look to see what Paul was talking about? What conclusion would I draw? Would I draw a proper conclusion or an improper conclusion? Well, I think I would probably draw an improper conclusion, because all that I've noticed that Paul said is everybody is a son of God if they believe in Jesus. If they got faith in Christ Jesus, everybody's a child of God. But that's not what Paul says. But see, if I look at the context, if I continue reading, "For all of you who were baptized into Christ have clothed yourselves with Christ." You see the difference the context makes? Or what if I were to look at what Paul wrote to the Corinthian Christians? 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 17, "For Christ did not send me to baptize." If I didn't look at the context of what Paul's talking about, might I draw an improper conclusion? Absolutely. Failure to notice context leads to very faulty conclusions and a misuse of Scripture. So we need ourselves not to fall into that trap. Look to see what the words actually mean, and then when you see what the words actually mean, pay attention to how he's using them. Pay attention to what the context is. Again, very closely related to this idea is something that we've already touched on from 2 Timothy chapter 2 a minute ago, is that leads then to you not being able to accurately handle the Scriptures. Over there in 2 Timothy 2:15, remember, "Be diligent to present yourselves approved to God." The rest of that sentence is, "As a workman who does not need to be ashamed, accurately handling the word of truth," or rightly dividing. In other words, knowing what this passage is and knowing what this passage is. Knowing that this applies to me because God says this. This is how this fits in God's plan. But this over here is how Noah fit into God's plan. So in other words, if I turn to Genesis chapter 6, verse 14, and without knowing how to rightly divide, without knowing how to accurately handle Scriptures, I just read in Genesis 6, 14, "Make for yourself an ark of gopher wood." Then what am I apt to start doing? Going and building myself an ark if I can figure out what gopher wood is. Because I have not accurately handled the Word. If I start to turn to something like we noticed from Leviticus this morning about lay your hands on the bull, if I don't know how to rightly handle the Word, if I don't know how to look at it and understand what God is talking about, when He's talking about it, and why He's talking about it, then I'm not going to come to a proper understanding. And the only way I'm going to be able to do that is, like we talked about earlier, giving diligence, putting forth the effort, looking to see what God is saying within the context that He's telling me. But some people really make a mess out of it. They don't understand, not because they don't want to put forth some effort. Oh, they may work really hard at looking at Scriptures, and I want to use the example that I've used recently of Martin Luther. He was a man who put forth a lot of effort into understanding what the Scripture said, into putting them in words that his fellow countrymen could understand. But you know, he didn't really have a proper understanding of Scriptures, and you know why? Because he added to them. If you add something to what God has said, how can you ever have a proper understanding of what God said if you want to make it say something else? You remember what Luther did to Romans chapter 3, verse 28? That's one of the most famous places. That's the verse we find, "For we maintain that a man is justified by faith apart from the works of the law." And you remember, I've mentioned this again recently, that Luther added the word "only" or "alone" in there. I mean, depending on how you want to translate his German. But he said, "For we maintain that a man is justified by faith alone, apart from works of the law." And he said, "I know it doesn't say that, but I need to put that in there so that we can, so that it fits my understanding." See, that's the problem. Adding to Scripture so that it fits what you want it to say. Again, how can you ever understand what God says when you want to look only at what you say? But some, I guess we could say, go the opposite way, right? They don't make use of what the Scripture does say. They will pick and choose verses out of Scripture. They won't read all Scripture. You know, there have been famously people who have taken lots and lots and lots out of God's Word. The Jefferson Bible, for instance, he went through and he pulled out all the things he didn't think fit, right? And I think I've mentioned to you before about a fellow that I knew that was, he was a band director at a high school up in Tennessee, and he brought me something to help that he wanted me to help him with, and what it was a New Testament that he had cut all the words out of that he didn't want in there. And I said, how are you going to make any sense out of that? How can you ever understand what God wants you to do if you take out the stuff that you don't agree with or that you don't want to be there? What if we only read, for instance, Acts chapter 16, verse 31? This is about the conversion. This is about a conversion here of the Philippian jailer. "Believe in the Lord Jesus and you will be saved, you and your household." What if we only read that and took out all the rest of the story of the Philippian jailer? Would we end up with any understanding of what God really said? No. And you could choose any topic. Why not read the entire story of the Philippian jailer? Why not read everything that God has to say about salvation? If you want to know what God says, if you want to truly understand, you can't just take parts of it out. But then what some people do is they'll look at it and they won't leave it out, but they'll misapply it. One example that you probably have seen a lot of Christians misapply is James chapter 1, verse 27. "Pure and undefiled religion in the sight of our God and Father is this, to visit orphans and widows in their distress and keep oneself unstained by the world." And they'll take that and they'll say, okay, there you go. We need to be building some orphans' homes and some widows' shelters. And is that what that verse says? That verse is talking to me and to you. You need to be doing these things. It doesn't say anything about building some other institutions based in human wisdom and human structure. But yet people will misapply all the time. Not just that, but that's just an example of how people will misapply a scripture and say, see, this is what it's really, you know, this is what we got to do because here's what scripture says, when that's not what scripture's talking about at all. That's not even who scripture is aimed at. And that ties again directly to the last thing I've put in my list. People don't understand because they don't want to find scriptural authority. They don't want to look and apply scriptural authority. And what I mean by that is how you have authority for anything, period. People can give you a direct instruction. We can grasp that. In everyday life, we use examples like this all the time. Say you're buying, your mom sends you to the grocery store and says, go buy a half gallon of milk. That's a direct instruction. Do we have any trouble understanding the authority of that statement? go buy a half gallon of milk. Right? We don't have any problem with that. What about when we have an example of something? Well, go to the store and buy that same stuff like your brother bought the other day for me. There's an example that the mom has approved of. Go get the same stuff. Do it like your brother did it. Or what about something that's inferred? You know, go get some Hershey's. Well, what's inferred by that? Well, what's Hershey mostly associated with? Chocolate, right? And if you're supposed to be getting milk and some Hershey's, probably the inference would be some Hershey syrup, maybe to make some chocolate milk or something. You know, whatever it might be. That's just a silly example. But we get the point. That's how we communicate. That's how we understand authority in everything. And yet people will not understand what the Bible says because they don't want to look to see what has God directly commanded me. What has God given me an example of that He approves? What has God given me with all of His information that I'm supposed to be able to infer or deduce, that I'm supposed to be able to deduce what He has inferred, right? And people don't want to do that. And so they're not ever going to understand. They want to look instead for a phrase that was used a while back that's not very popular to use anymore is, I want a new hermeneutic. And people now that have taken that approach have said, oh, we can't use that. That sounds too scary. We need to put it soft in some softer way, you know, so they don't really realize we're telling them, don't look for the authority of what God says. I don't know what term they'll settle on, but they're floating several out there right now because they don't want it to sound harsh by saying I'm looking for a new hermeneutic, right? That is a new way of understanding authority. But they're all things. Those are just a list of things of why people don't understand. And that, like I said, you can probably come up with more. But here's the point. The bottom line is, we can understand what God has said. We don't need to fall into any of these traps that we've looked at this morning. We can all understand. I mean, even most religious people would agree with you on some aspect of Scripture. Like most religious people are going to say, oh yeah, there's one God. Okay, that's true. Most of them would say, oh, there's one Christ. And they can understand that. Again, we can turn to Ephesians chapter 4, and Paul says, I want you to preserve the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were also called in one hope of your calling, one Lord. Oh yeah, I got you. I understand. That's what he says. One faith. Oh yeah, I got you there. One baptism. Wait a minute. What are you talking about? I don't understand what you're talking about, one baptism. Isn't it in the same verse that says one Lord? And you understand there's one God, there's one Jesus Christ, there's one Lord and Savior. You say that there's one Spirit, right? There's only one calling, but all of a sudden you can't understand one baptism? What's the problem? We have to be willing to accept what the Bible says. We have to look at what God has said. We have to accept what God has said. We have to spend time with what God has said. Put forth that effort. Give our diligence to learn what God has said. Paying attention to the words. Paying attention to the context. Paying attention to what God has given us authority to do and what He has not given us authority. So the question for each of us then is, how well do you understand? How well do you understand Scripture? Do you understand the information that the Scripture has provided, that God has given us through His Word, as to what to do to have salvation, remission of your sins? Have you read to see what it says? Do you understand what it says? Arise and be baptized. Wash away your sins. Even so, corresponding to that, baptism now saves you. Repent. Believe. Do you understand what it means when it says to believe? Do you understand what it means when it says to repent? Do you understand what it means when it says to be baptized to wash away your sins? Do you understand those things? If you do, then you need to be acting on those things. If you don't understand, have you fallen into one of these traps? Have you put your confidence in something that men have taught you instead of what God has said? Have you failed to meditate on what God has said? Have you failed to study and give diligence to what God has said? What about if you have done part of those things and you are a child of God? Do you understand what the scriptures that God has provided for us inform us is necessary to continue in His favor? Do you understand how to live righteously and sensibly in this present age, godly in this present age? His Word tells us. Are we understanding that? Are we living that? I hope that we can all say that we do understand, and I hope we can all say we're going to meditate on God's Word and we're going to give diligence to God's Word so that we can grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and day by day even come to a stronger and deeper understanding of this wonderful Word that God has provided for us. If you're here this morning and we can help you in any way in your response to that Word, we would certainly be glad to help you in whatever way we can. If you would just let us know how we can help by coming to the front while we stand and sing.